What a beautiful day the Lord has given us. Amen. Got a question. Why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? That song just gave us the answer. We come here to worship the Lord. Because if we don't worship Him first, then how can we receive His word? That should be our first priority, is to worship Him. We worship Him in praise and we worship Him in song. It doesn't matter what we sound like. We sound like an orchestra to Him up there. Worship. Because when we worship with the Lord, then we have that connection and the Holy Spirit just starts moving. And then we receive the word that the Lord has for us this day. Amen?
Amen.
I'm excited about today. I'm excited that the Lord has given me another opportunity to come here before you. And I am truly blessed that I get to do what I get to do. There's just no other way to explain it. I don't want to call it a job, but I have the best occupation there is. Right, Art? We have the best occupation. We get to do His work every day. But you know what? So do you. You get to do the same thing that Art has done for over 50 years and the same thing I've done for a year now. You get to do that same thing, so you should count it as much of a blessing as we do. If you have your Bibles, open it up to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Last week, we talked about a Christian family, and we focused on the husband and the father. Today we're going to go into part two and we're going to talk about a Christian family and we're going to focus on the wife and the mother. I was a week behind in Sedgwick because we didn't have church there last week, and evidently somebody from this church must have told the men at that church what I was going to preach about, because other than myself there was one man there. That's all right. I'm going to preach it again the Sunday after next. But you know what? Last Sunday was not just for the men. It was for the women and the children as well. Because if you don't know what your husband and your father are supposed to be doing, then how can you correct them in a loving way? You notice I said loving way. You don't, you messed up. No, we do it in love. But if you don't know what it is that they're supposed to be doing, then how can you make sure they're doing it? And when I say make sure, is you encourage them and you give them help. You don't nag them to death or thump them with your Bible. You do it in love, just like Christ does with us when we mess up and we stray. He don't beat us up. He just gently hugs us and brings us back on the straight and narrow path. So chapter 2 and verse 18, and it reads, "And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Helper. Helper. That is what God made the woman to man. And as we talked about last week, He doesn't say He made her the man's slave. It didn't say that it made her the man's servant, but a helper. And so also the man should help his wife, and the child should help his mother. Help her. A woman has a lot of responsibility. The man, you know, last week we talked about the man is going to be responsible. He's going to answer to God for the welfare and the spiritual welfare and the well-being of his family. But he is not going to be the only one that has to answer. The wife and the mother is also going to have to answer for their actions and how and the part that they play in the Christian family. Because I got to thinking, you know, the family is like a machine, and if one cog goes out of balance, the machine don't work right. And the same is true with the family. If one piece of the family goes off on its own or is broken, the family is not going to work right either. For a wife and mother to be able to carry out their roles in a Christian family, like the husband and the father, they must have the same type of relationship that we talked about last week. You have to have the right relationship with Christ to be able to be the Christian wife and the Christian mother that God calls you to be. So last week when we talked about the relationship the man has to have with Christ, the woman has to have that same relationship. Now, do they get to that same relationship the same way? Not always. It doesn't really matter how we get to the relationship. What matters is that we get to the relationship. And the Bible tells us how to do it. It's just sometimes the women go one way to get there and the man goes the other way to get there. The important thing is that we get there. Then we're going to go back to this. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And you notice it says their own husbands. It does not say that women should be submissive or servant to men. It says that she should listen to her own husband, not to every man that's walking up and down the street. And so many times, context of God's word is just, people don't even look at the context. They look at the word, and they look at it, the literal saying of it, instead of stopping and thinking what it is that the Lord really means. Just like last week, we read the scripture where it says we have to hate our mother and our father and our sister and our brother and our children to be able to be disciples. That's not what God intended in that passage. The context is that we must be able to understand what it means to be a disciple, what we must be willing to give up, which is everything. We have to put the Lord first. And women, we have to put the Lord first. You don't put your husband before God. You don't put your children before God. You put God first. And if your husband don't like it, in a loving manner, refer to him to the scripture where it says that God comes first. Don't idle your husband. Don't worship your children. Love them like God loved the church. But they come second. The Lord has to come first, because if he does not, then you cannot uphold your role in the Christian family. Let's look at the word submission. People like that word submission, but really submission is two words, sub-mission. And what that means, I wish I had a board up here and I could explain it a little bit better. In the military, they have what they call the order of battle. And what that order of battle is you start up here with a division, and then you break down into like four or five brigades, and then you break down into like 10 battalions, and then you break down into about 20 companies. Now, all these down here are subject to the orders of the one up here, but they all have the same mission. And see, the woman's mission is no different than the man's. The woman's mission is to serve the Lord. She's not below the man in the way we look at being below. She's just, instead of being the division, she's the brigade. Or, in better terms, instead of being the CEO, she's the chief financial officer. Her role is just as important as the CEO's. And as men and children, we got to come to understand the importance that the woman plays in the family. I think back to my own mother. When I was a child and I'd fall down and I would scrape my knee, I didn't want my father. I wanted my mother. And why is that? Because God created the woman differently than he created the man. He created the woman to be gentle and have soft skin. I remember when Jake was small and he would go to crying, I'd pick him up and I'd do everything I could think of to calm him down, and he just wouldn't stop. Jessica would say, let me have him. And so I would hand him to her, and just that quick, because he knew his mother. And he knew the softness of her voice and the softness of her skin and even her smell. And almost instantly he would calm down. Not that he loves her more than me, it's just she plays a slightly different role than I do. When Jake and Lindsay was born, I handed them to Jessica, and I says, call me when they turn about six. And then I'll start doing my part. Amen? Yeah, no dirty diapers. I don't feed them. I ain't equipped to do that.
Did it work?
No. And it shouldn't have worked. But that was my mentality. Was she'll take care of them when they're infants and where they're big enough where they can walk where they need to go and they can tell me what they want for I ain't got to figure it out. Then I'll start my role. Because my role as a man is to teach my son how to fish and how to work and how to do all these manly things. And Jessica's job is to teach Lindsay how to cook and clean and sew and prepare to be the good little wife. That's not what God intended. God intended us to raise our children together and to teach them together in all the different things that we know. And no, it did not work, Deb. I did get up at night, and I would change the kid's diaper in the middle of the night and then pass them off to Jessica before she could feed them, and I'd go back to sleep. Because, again, I was not equipped to feed them. God did not equip me that way. But we did it together. But, again, so many times we take our wives for granted. We do. And sometimes the women take their husbands for granted. It's almost a common thought that the man should make more money than his wife. If the toilet's plugged, Jessica will say, Larry, the toilet's plugged. Well, you know where the plunger's at. But see, we have set up, man has set up these roles for men and women, and I'm not sure we got it right. Should Jessica be able to unplug the toilet? Yeah. What if I'm not there? Jake, wait till I get home. I go use the bathroom and no, not pretty. Amen, Jake? Yeah. But we all have our own roles, but God designed our roles to mesh together, just like the machine I was talking about and the cogs, they all work together. But see, man wants to come up with his own design of how things should work. And it's changed a lot. It really has. From the 1920s and 1930s, not that many women worked outside of the house. But yet they probably did more work than their husbands who did work outside of the house. We don't look at it as work, and so we take it for granted. I know I won't make the mistake of telling Jessica that the Lord says that she should serve me. Go make me a sandwich. Mm-mm. Did I tell you what would happen if I did that? Did I tell you what would happen last week? Mm-hmm. She'd go right to the linen closet, get me a blanket and a pillow, and tell me until my attitude changes, the couch. See? Yeah. But you know what? That used to be the mentality. That used to be man's mentality, and women accepted it as their role, but that's not what God intended. God intended for us to work together. Like I said last week, women, you're not to walk in front of your husband by no means. But you also are not to walk behind him. Why? Because if you're walking in front or walking behind, you can't communicate. It's just like with the Lord in our relationship with him. If we're walking in front of him or behind him, how can we hear him? You're constantly sitting there, huh? Well, I think she said this. And that ain't what she said at all. You know, it's kind of like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Y'all like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? I do. But you got to have the right amount of peanut butter and the right amount of jelly. Otherwise, the bread sticks to the roof of your mouth if you got too much peanut butter. And if you put too much jelly on there, it's a little too sweet. And that's how men and women are, like that peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You want just the right amount of peanut butter and just the right amount of jelly, and you have the perfect sandwich. But the peanut butter wants to be the taste that overrides the jelly. And the jelly says, oh, we need more jelly because it's sweeter. then the sandwich is no good. We have to work together, and we have to get rid of this mentality that we're so different. But I also got to looking at what Peter says. What if my wife, or my husband, excuse me, is not a Christian? Am I still supposed to submit to him? Yes, you are. 1 Peter says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives." So what's Peter telling us? Peter's telling us, yes, you still must obey your husband, as we've discussed what obey means. And you don't throw your Christianity into his face, "I'm better than you because I'm a Christian." You do exactly what you do when you go out into the public. You live a Christ-like life and let your husband see Christ in the way that you live. You love him, you care for him, you be compassionate to him. And in doing so, he will come to see who the Lord is through you. It worked on me. I do this wrong, I do that wrong. Why does she still love me so much? Because Christ loves me. And she's showing that Christ-like love when she puts up with all my imperfections. And then verse 2 says, "When they observe your chastest conduct accompanied by fear." And what that means is that word fear, it's not the fear that we think of. It's our desire to serve God. And what will happen to us if we don't? Not what God's going to do to us, but what we're going to do to ourselves. And when we do those things, if we have a spouse who is not a Christian or a spouse who is turned away from the Lord, all we have to do is be the person that God tells us to be and to let his light shine through us to that spouse and believe in faith that God will do what he promises. He'll do his part. Now, things that a wife and a mother should not do. As I was studying this, the Lord led me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the wife and the mother. Also has a lot to say about the husband and the father. Proverbs 19 and verse 13 says, "A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentments of a wife are a continual dripping." Contentious means quarrel, argumentative. And Proverbs is saying it's like a dripping roof. So the Lord says, don't be quarrelsome. Women, don't be quarrelsome. Well, I'm not the only one quarrelsome. I understand that. But right now we're talking about that. And then Proverbs 21:19 says, "To the man, better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a continuous woman." The Lord's telling the man that you're better off to climb up on the roof of your house and live in the corner of it than to stay in the house and listen to your wife nag and argue. So that's probably something as a wife we should not do. And men, we're just as guilty. We don't so much nag, we give them the silent treatment. "I ain't going to say a thing." But we'll give them that look. Same thing. Proverbs also says in verse 21, or chapter 21, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a continuous and angry woman. Why is the woman angry? Probably something the man did, right? But what God is trying to show us in Proverbs here is anger gets us nowhere. Quarreling and fighting gets us nowhere. And what he's saying when he says it's better for the man to go live in the wilderness than to stay with a quarreling and angry wife, he's not saying he should leave her. He's just saying, you know, sometimes when we disagree, sometimes it's better if we just walk away and calm down and collect our thoughts before we say something that we shouldn't. I've done that. And once some words leave your mouth, you can't bring them back, no matter how many times you say sorry. But Proverbs also tells us that the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with their hands. If we think about it, men, and we're honest, it is the woman that builds our house. She takes care of our house more than we do. As she should. But that doesn't mean that we have no responsibility in that house. We still have a responsibility to help. I've learned that four hands work better than two. When you got four hands doing something, it makes it a lot simpler sometimes. Mothers should trust in God above all things. Psalms 9:10 says, "Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Your husband ain't acting right. Your children ain't acting right. There is one person you can trust that will never fail you, and that is the Lord. Go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't know what to do with these heathen children." He'll show you. Mother must also keep the faith. We can't trust in the Lord unless we have the faith that he's going to do what he says he'll do. Be persistent in prayer. I had a woman talk to me at the Living Center Friday. She's worried about her son. She goes, "He won't go to church. He thinks that he don't need to go to church. He can read the Bible at home. She's not sure if he's saved." She goes, "What do I do? How do I get him to go to church?" Pray. Pray. We have an intercessor with God. Jesus Christ hears our prayers and he goes to the Father. And the Father answers him. I told her, pray. I said, if you pray tomorrow and he doesn't come to church Sunday, keep praying. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And that's in everything, not just in certain things. So if you have a loved one, whether it's a son, daughter, husband, brother, sister, friends, don't give up on them because Christ didn't give up on us. And so mothers, if you're struggling with your children, look to the Father for help. And then look to the Father for help. Unconditional love. A mother can love like no other person. A mother can love in ways that the father just can't. We just don't know how. My mother showed me, love all the time. My father loved me. I have no doubt he did. But the way he showed me was by giving me a punch in the arm like I do with Jake. Or when we're driving in the pickup, he reach over there and grab my kneecap and give it a good squeeze. And it hurt, but that's how he showed his love to me. If he was angry with me, he wouldn't even talk to me. But my mother, I could tell my mother anything. A few years ago, or about 2 years after my mom died, I had a very bad day and I had some very bad news and I didn't know what to do with this news. And without even thinking about it, and I didn't realize I was doing it, I left Julesburg and was driving to Ovid to go to my mom's house. I didn't realize it until I got to the Vidoc, and I'm like, "Where are you going?" Because my first reaction was go to the woman who never, ever failed me, who loved me with all my faults, and who had the answer to all my questions. I didn't go home to Jessica. I got in my car and I was going to my mom's. She had been dead for 2 years. But when I didn't have the answer and I needed comforting and I needed that love that only a mother could give, I drove to her house. And I felt like a fool when I realized what I was doing. But today I realized that's how much I know my mother loved me. And so I talked to her on my way back home. And I told her what my problems were. And I asked her, ask God to help me because I don't know what to do with this. The next day my prayers were answered and my problem was fixed. So children, think about that. Jake, you think about that when it comes to your mom. And Lindsay, you do the same thing. No matter how old you get, your mother's never going to love you any less. And you're never going to need her any less. What a blessing that wives and mothers are for us. Man says, well, she's not as good as me. God made me, but then he took her out of my rib. What a foolish thought. For a child or for a man to think like that, it's painful. We were blessed with our wives and our mothers, but yet we take them for granted. Amen? I know I do. My dad also taught me to respect my mother. And if I didn't, I was in trouble. And my mother, very seldom did she get angry. But like all humans, she did have an angry side. And when she got angry, she would make a pitching coach proud. Because she could release that shoe off of her foot and hit you in the back of the head at 20 yards. If I seen that leg coming up, I was ducking and weaving because I knew that shoe was fixing to come from my head. And when she got to that point, I knew I'd gone way, way too far. But you know what? I had to mess up really, really bad before she would tell my dad. Because it hurt her more when I got a spanking than it did me. Because she loved me that much. So men, love your wives like God loved the church. Don't treat her like a servant. Treat her as your equal and treat her as your helper. Women, submit to your husbands. In the way the Bible says to submit to your husband, not the way the world says to submit to your husband. Women, you must know what God says. You need to know what his word says. That way, when we mess up, you can correct us. That's what a good helper does. Jessica corrects me all the time, and I get angry sometimes when she does it. She corrected me in Bible study the other night, and I'm like, I've been reading this Bible for 20 years. You've been reading it for about 3 years. How do you figure you know more than me? But guess what? She was right and I was wrong. But my pride, my male pride, she don't know more than me. Sure she does. In some things God shows her that he doesn't show me. So we have to work together to have this Christian family. Amen? We're not always going to get along. And there's going to be times we disagree. And really, there's nothing wrong when we disagree. It's in how we react to that disagreement. Can we sit down like the adults that God made us to be and speak in love? We may never agree on this, but in love, we can agree to disagree. And what's that show our children? It shows our children you don't always have to agree with your spouse. But it's how you discuss that disagreement. If we fight and argue and yell and scream, what's that teach our children? When they get older, they're going to argue, fight, and scream. That's what I battle the most is my temper and my getting loud and arguing because that's all I seen with my parents was they argued and fussed all the time. especially my real father and my mother. We talk about living a Christ-like life for the world can see it. Well, we need to live a Christ-like life for our spouse and our children can see it. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, help us to understand the true meaning of a Christian family and the true meaning of a good husband and a good mother, a godly husband and a godly wife, a godly father and a godly mother. Father, we may not always agree, but give us the desire to speak through these disagreements in the way that you would have us, that your light may shine through us to one another. Help us uplift one another as husband and wife and father and mother. For you have given us a great blessing when you gave us our spouses and our children. So teach us now how to love them and cherish them, for they are a gift from you. Father, help us look to you to resolve our differences and our conflicts. Help us to be families that our community can look at and see you living through daily. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.